The large, serious-looking grey van moved slowly down the driveway, emerged through the stone gates, and dipped sedately as it turned off the gravel and onto the asphalt of the public road. The road was a windy country lane, lined with the wintry silhouettes of leafless oaks and dead elms. Grey clouds were piled as high as pillows in the sky. The van made its stately progress away down the lane, and soon was lost among its further twists and turns. A few minutes later, the yellow Citroen made its less stately appearance between the gates. It turned its splayed wheels up onto the camber of the lane, and set off at a slow but difficult rate in the same direction. Kate was rattled. The last few minutes had been rather unpleasant. Standish was clearly an oddly behaved man at the best of times, but after their encounter with the patient named Odwin, he had turned unequivocally hostile. It was the frightening hostility of one who was himself frightened. Of what? Kate did not know. Who was she, he had demanded to know. How had she wheedled a reference out of Alan Franklin, a respected man in the profession? What was she after? What, and this seemed to be the big one, had she done to arouse the disapprobation of Mr. Odwin? She held the car grimly to the road as it negotiated the bends with considerable difficulty, and the straight sections with only slightly less. The car had landed her in court on one occasion, when one of its front wheels had sailed off on a little expedition of its own and nearly caused an accident. The police witness in the court had referred to her beloved Citroen as the alleged car, and the name had subsequently stuck. She was particularly fond of the alleged car for many reasons. If one of its doors, for instance, fell off, she could put it back on herself, which is more than you could say for a BMW. She wondered if she looked as pale and wan as she felt. But the rearview mirror was rattling around under the seat, so she was spared the knowledge. Standish himself had become quite white and shaky at the very idea of anybody crossing Mr. Odwin, and had dismissed out of hand Kate's attempts to deny that she knew anything of him at all. If that were the case, he had demanded of her, why then had Mr. Odwin made it perfectly clear that he knew her? Was she accusing Mr. Odwin of being a liar? If she was, then she should have a care for herself. Kate did not know. The encounter with Mr. Odwin was completely inexplicable to her, but she could not deny to herself that the man packed some kind of punch. When he looked at you, you stayed looked at. But beneath the disturbing quality of his steady gaze had lain some even more disturbing undercurrents. They were more disturbing because they were the undercurrents of weakness and fear. And as for the other creature, clearly he was the cause of the stories that had arisen recently in the more extremely abhorrent sectors of the tabloid press about there being something nasty in the wood's head. The stories had, of course, been offensive and callously insensitive, and had largely been ignored by everybody in the country, except for those very few millions who were keen on offensive and callously insensitive things. The stories had claimed that people in the area had been terrorized by some repulsively deformed, goblin-like creature, who regularly broke out of the wood's head and committed an impressively wide range of unspeakable acts. Like most people, Kate had assumed, insofar as she had thought about it at all, that what had actually happened was that some poor, bewildered mental patient had wandered out of the grounds and given a couple of passing old ladies a bit of a turn, and that the slavering hacks of Wapping had done the rest. Now she was a little more shaky and a little less sure. It had known her name. What could she make of that? What she made of it was a wrong turning. In her preoccupation, she missed the turning that would take her onto the main road back to London, and then had to work out what to do about it. She could simply do a three-point turn and go back, but it was a long time since she had last put the car into reverse gear, and she was frankly a bit nervous about how it would take to it. She tried taking the next two right turns to see if that would set her straight, but she had no great hopes of this actually working, and was right not to have. She drove on for 2 or 3 miles, knowing that she was on the wrong road, but at least, judging from the position of the lighter grey smear in the grey clouds, going in the right direction. After a while, she settled down to this new route. A couple of signposts she passed made it clear to her that she was merely taking the B route back to London now, which she was perfectly happy to do. If she had thought about it in advance, she would probably have chosen to do so anyway, in preference to the busy trunk road. The trip had been a total failure, and she would have done far better simply to have stayed soaking in the bath all afternoon. The whole experience had been thoroughly disturbing, verging on the frightening, and she had drawn a complete blank as far as her actual objective was concerned. It was bad enough having an objective that she could hardly bring herself to admit to, without having it completely fall apart on her as well. A sense of stale futility gradually closed in on her, along with the general greyness of the sky. She wondered if she was going very slightly mad. Her life seemed to have drifted completely out of her control in the last few days, and it was distressing to realize just how fragile her grip was, when it could so easily be shattered by a relatively minor thunderbolt or meteorite or whatever it was. The word thunderbolt seemed to have arrived in the middle of that thought without warning, and she didn't know what to make of it, so she just let it lie there at the bottom of her mind, like the towel lying on her bathroom floor that she hadn't been bothered to pick up. She longed for some sun to break through. The miles ground along under her wheels, the clouds ground her down, and she found herself increasingly thinking of penguins. At last she felt she could stand it no more, and decided that a few minutes' walk was what she needed to shake her out of her mood. She stopped the car at the side of the road, and the elderly Jaguar, which had been following her for the last 17 miles, ran straight into the back of her, which worked just as well.